Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
What's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mark Jones, who hosted Horse for ESPN, is going to join us at some point during the show. John Ireland is going to stop by today in the last segment of the show. So Mark Jones at 11 and John Ireland at 11:45. So we will definitely talk about a number of things in the NBA. They've got a potential plan, sort of. We'll explain what that means in a second. But I do want to get to the horse thing, too, because, man, y'all complain about anything. Good Lord. Like, I don't know what people expected, but I'll touch on that here in just a sec. But this segment brought to us by our friends at Straight Talk Wireless. Full court cell phone coverage that you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for just $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. We also have a surprise for you. Since today is the anniversary, the four-year anniversary of Kobe Bryant's last game, the 60-point performance, at 11:30, be ready. We are going to play the last 3 minutes and 5 seconds of game time on that game, which is about a 10-minute segment, okay? And it's basically where Kobe goes on like a personal 11-2 run to give the Lakers the lead for good in that game. It's an incredible game. There's never going to be a game where, look, even Michael Jordan, right? Think about it. Yes, he should have had that shot over Brian Russell, and then he came back with the Wizards. Outside of John Elway, I understand that was the Super Bowl, so that's a little different. But as an individual performance, Kobe's 60-point game as an individual performance is just incredible. So because it's the anniversary today, at 11:30, we're going to have the last 3 minutes and 5 seconds, which is about 10 minutes of actual airtime for you to listen to. And then Ireland's coming on after to recap that. We're going to recap that. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about stuff that happened in the sports world too, Ireland and I, but we definitely want to talk about that too. So make sure you stick around and listen to that. We thought it'd be a cool treat for you guys today, you know, and on the anniversary of Kobe's 60-point performance for his last game. But first, let's start off with the NBA news. So the NBA has a return window, and on that return window, guys, if we have Brian Windhorst, there's audio from SportsCenter that I sent Laura about a 25-day window. We kind of alluded to it briefly during crosstalk there with Travis, LZ, and Key about the NBA's potential plan once they do feel like they're headed in the right direction. Once they can implement a target date, Brian Windhorst says they need about 25 days. Let's hear from Windhorst.
They're spending a lot of time getting a back-to-basketball plan ready. They hope they get to use it. And in talking to executives and trainers around the league, what they're looking at is a 25-day return-to-basketball window. Hopefully, at some point, they can enact it. An 11-day series of individual workouts, where there'd be social distancing for a period of time. And then, hopefully, if the clearance comes that they can play 5-on-5 basketball, a 14-day training camp. So, as you hope for the country to heal and the virus to get better, look for at least about a 3.5 to 4 week return date before you'd ever get back to games.
Right. And here's the thing. I saw Woj on SportsCenter literally minutes ago say that Brian's timeline seems to be the most plausible, and that at best, at the very, very, very least, they're going to need at least 2+ weeks. So that's if they sped the thing up. But it seems more likely that it's going to be, you know, at least probably somewhere in the middle, right? In between the 2+ weeks and the 25 days, which is, you know, 3.5 weeks. So Mike, if I had to guess, it'll be about 3 weeks, you know, somewhere in that particular range. By the time they have individual workouts, guys are allowed at practice facilities, and then they're allowed to do team activities. So again, the NBA, even though they've taken the right approach and been measured, Adam Silver, the commissioner, has been measured about not making any decisions until May. He did say, and we talked about it, that there are plans. They are creating plans as they should. So the question is, what could derail these plans other than the obvious, right? The testing positives of players. How could they quarantine that those particular players? Could they do it with still getting the rest of the team up and ready? Are there ways to do that? Major League Baseball seems to think that's the case, because remember Jeff Passan told us that last week on Monday or Tuesday when he was on, that they believe that even if a player tests positive, that they could still move forward with the proper testing and temperature checks and things of that nature and allow teams to be able to move forward with business as usual if they get to that point. Again, all this is one big if. But the other concern, because of the layoff, the ramping back up, would be injuries. And Windhorse was on Get Up. And on Get Up, Mike Greenberg asked him about the potential for the concern of injury. And here is what Windhorse said.
All of this is up to negotiation, and we don't know the calendar or anything. And I do think it's actually smart that Adam Silver has said, listen, we're not going to go day by day here. We're just going to wait until May 1st and see. But obviously, there's a lot of people in the league working on this, and they are really concerned about injuries on players. Some people I've seen compare this to the lockout back in 2011, but that's just not accurate, because a lot of these guys aren't playing basketball. If you have a great house with a beautiful indoor gym, or you have access to something like that, you are playing by yourself, maybe. But in the lockout, these guys are playing exhibition games and stuff. They are really, the trainers and medical personnel are really worried if there's a restart, that there could be injuries, even in the practices leading up. And if you just watched the horse game last night, you saw the different facilities guys were using. You know, Trey Young was shooting at a kind of a rickety, court outside of his house. You had Mike Conley in this gorgeous home gym. Giannis Antetokounmpo spoke earlier this month about he didn't have a hoop to shoot in. I hope that's been remedied in one way or another by now. But, you know, I talked to one team who said 10 or 11 of our guys live in apartments. Where their gyms, even though they're nice apartments, their gyms are shut down. Yes, we can send them a Peloton, we can send them a treadmill, but how can we expect them to stay in shape living in an apartment? So this is a big factor. The NBA would love to get its facilities reopened, but as Adam Silver said, we're going to wait and listen to the experts and don't ask us anything until after May 1st.
So not that this should be breaking news by any stretch of the imagination, but it's going to be a bumpy ride, even if they do get back. It's not going to be smooth sailing. There could be a million different things that can go wrong. But it seems fairly obvious to me, and I've maintained this position all along, whether it's the NBA, whether it's Major League Baseball. Clearly, we know the NFL is business as usual. And now even the NHL is talking about doing these bubble cities too. That they're adamant to get back. And because social distancing is working, because the numbers are being projected to be lower than the original projections, because of our own doing, because of us adhering to the guidelines, and us doing the good work, and still, again, not loosening the grip and maintaining this position, it looks like this could be something that we can do. It looks like there is real hope, I think, for the return of sports. But again, it's going to be a bumpy ride. The guy who might be the MVP in Giannis Antetokounmpo, wouldn't be my vote. I told you I'd vote for LeBron. But the guy who could be the MVP in Giannis Antetokounmpo doesn't have a basket at his house. It's crazy. Now, if I were the Bucks owner, I'd probably send him one and have someone build it outside his house, his garage, whatever. Figure out how to do it with social distancing, and get that man a hoop. Because Brian's right. As I was watching horse yesterday, I was laughing because Chauncey Billups has a regulation court in his backyard in Denver. And Trey Young has a hoop in his driveway. And there's no way that as Chauncey Billups and Trey Young were competing yesterday, that they were competing from the same distances, the free throw line, the three-point line, none of that stuff. Now, Chauncey still won, which I thought was hilarious, but it just goes to show you that, yeah, not everyone is up to snuff. Not everyone's Chauncey, who's a retired player, or Mike Conley Jr., who's got this beautiful indoor gym that's bigger than most people's houses. So, again, it's going to be a bit of a bumpy road. And it was a little bit of a bumpy road yesterday watching Horse. I was watching the internet, and at first I was getting angry because I'm like, dog, the NBA and ESPN are trying to put on something with people actually shooting real basketballs, not playing video games, shooting real basketballs. Granted, it's Horse. It's not the most daunting thing to play. It's also not always the most entertaining thing, but it's better than nothing. And yet there were so many bleeping ingrates out there that were like, oh, the quality isn't good enough. It's lagging. This is worse than when I play NBA 2K on my Wi-Fi. Oh, grow the bleep up. I mean, honestly, like, what did you want them to do? They wanted Horse. They wanted the interaction. Granted, it was taped, but it was live to those guys when they were competing, and girls. And they wanted the talk in between themselves, between Mark Jones and them. They wanted the ability to communicate during. So, yeah, we could have sent them all GoPros and shot it in 4K video, but you wouldn't have had the interaction of Zach LaVine trash-talking my guy Paul Pierce and basically putting him in a wheelchair. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was the reasoning behind it. So it just was amazing to me. And look, I'm not saying that it probably couldn't have been done differently. Of course, in retrospect, it all could be done differently. Hindsight is 20/20. Maybe I would have ran Mike Conley Jr. and Tamika Catchings first because the video quality was a little better. And run Chauncey and Trey later because the video quality wasn't as good as some of the other ones. We could argue that all day, but the point is the NBA and ESPN tried to put on something for your entertainment, and of course, the internet is undefeated because they always want to complain about everything, especially on Twitter. But you know what I would say? And I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. If you watched it, did you understand that that was probably going to be the case, that you were going to get a lo-fi quality type thing? Like, because, again, ESPN and the NBA aren't sending strangers into people's homes during a pandemic to get cameras up there and running. Like, and by the way, I wouldn't want a stranger in my house either. I told you guys the story about how the internet company came in and they were supposed to also install a landline here when I moved in, and they didn't because of some snafu. And I told the company, I said, yo, forget the phone. Take it off my bill. I'll deal with it. Because I don't want someone else in my house right now. So, of course, the NBA and ESPN and the players wouldn't want strangers in their house setting up cameras. And again, as far as the GoPro option, you wouldn't get the interaction. And you're assuming that someone in the player's household would know how to not only manage the GoPro, but then be able to upload the video later properly to be able to edit. Like, there's just so many things that I was like laughing about at the way people were reacting to. It's like, come on, dude. Like, don't be an ingrate, okay? We've got players playing video games and we've got players playing Horse on Zoom for your benefit. So just enjoy, just relax, like, enjoy the conversation. Enjoy the escape for a few minutes of guys actually shooting real basketballs. Bergman, how did you feel about the whole thing?
Look, I mean, I watched them all on YouTube afterwards because it was Easter and I was with my family, but I thought it was fine. I mean, I got it in a 10-minute clip, so it was easy to just see them making most of the shots and get a lot of the good trash talk. So I was totally fine with it. I don't think it was amazing. I don't think watching other people play Horse is the most entertaining thing in the world, but I think
even if we were at even if we had 4K video, you know what I'm saying? Like, Horse right. is not the most entertaining thing, but it's the only thing you can do during a pandemic where you can use social distancing.
Exactly. No, there was with how it came across. If you're upset about the quality, I mean, you just have never watched live, you know, anything on the internet that what people are filming live. That's just how it works. And also, I don't understand how a GoPro would work anyway. Where are you going to put it? On your chest? On your head? On the top of the backboard? I mean, it just – it's all of that stuff. It doesn't work as well as people are just being like, yeah, just throw a GoPro on. It just doesn't work that well. I just watching horse is tough for me. But besides that, I thought it was fine. I liked watching Zach LaVine and Paul Pierce kind of going at it. I thought that it was funny that like Paul Pierce is trying to stand up against the gate to get far enough back to hit one of Zach LaVine's shots.
Right.
I mean, it's not that easy.
Right. Trae Young literally playing on what looked like an 8-foot rim. I don't even believe it was a 10-foot rim.
Right. Exactly. I don't think so. Like Allie Quigley was like in her front yard and she had to like write it out in chalk.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was fine. It was fine.
It was fine. Here's the thing. And Laura, I think you sent me this text. Tell people what you just texted me right now.
I said that people just want something to complain about. They don't have nothing else to do, so they're just going to go ahead and pick at what they can. Because I saw the games, and if you've ever... Well, I've seen Dodger games on Twitter, and it's not the best quality. But I'm happy I'm getting something. So just stop complaining and enjoy it. I mean, it's not that big of a deal.
Well, yeah, and to your point, I think what's happening is people are projecting. They're frustrated. They're at home. They want something. They're starting to get tired of Netflix and Hulu and the ESPN Plus and all the different streaming services, right? Like, they're starting to get tired. They're like, I'm going through this library and there's only so much more I could take of this. All right, fine. The NBA is going to give me something. Oh, no, it's not what I expected. Bleep everything. And it's like, no, dude, be grateful that they gave you something different and they tried, right? Like, that's the thing. And again, I just don't know what the expectations were going into it, but I do feel it is people projecting. But anyway, I'm curious to get people's thoughts on it. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Coming up next, Major League Baseball has a plan, and it's this plan or bust. We've heard multiple plans, but according to our Jeff Passan, it's this one we're going to tell you or bust. We'll tell you what it is next here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. And don't forget, when it comes to insurance, we got you insured right here because we're going to talk about everything you need. Everything you need to know about the NBA coming back, about Major League Baseball coming back. I do feel like it's more positive. I do feel like it's definitely more and more positive. So Mark Jones going to join us at 11. At 11:30, we are going to run back the last 3 minutes and 5 seconds, 3 minutes and 5 seconds of game time of Kobe's 60-point performance in his last game. It's about 10 minutes long. We're going to play that for you because it's the anniversary of that today, the 4-year anniversary of that today. And then John Ireland will join us after to recap that and just kind of chat with him about it. And then we'll talk, you know, obviously a lot of things with John. We're not just going to stick to one thing with him, but that's the deal. So stick around for that. It's also Number Mania continues today. Bergman, we were going to do number 8 today, but that one's fairly obvious, so we're just going to skip that one, right?
Yeah, we're just going to give that to Kobe. Kobe wins number 8, and he's going to win number 24, too. We're just going to let that out right now.
Right. Yeah, spoiler alert, 8 and 24 already spoken for. So number 9 today, right?
Yes, we're starting with number 9. This one's it's pretty interesting. You got a lot of different things here. So Nick Van Exel was number 9 for the Lakers. Lisa Leslie is number 9 for the Sparks in a big part of the LA community. And then if you like hockey, Bernie Nichols of the Kings was a huge part of the Kings when they were starting up here for number 9 also. So you have a few good choices here. If you had to choose, which one are you going with? Nikki V, Leslie, or Bernie Nichols?
Lisa Leslie.
Lisa, yeah, that's where I'm going to. I'm going Lisa Leslie also.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, no disrespect to Nick Van Exel, but, you know, she's the greatest of all time, arguably. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
So. Look, I love Nick the Quick. I love Nikki V, but nah, we are going with Lisa Leslie, but because we understand how Twitter works with this ESPN LA Twitter, it's very Laker heavy.
Yeah, and then the other number 10, who do we have there?
Number 10, we have Norm Nixon for the Lakers.
Ooh.
That's a good one. And then yeah. I went with two Dodgers for the rest for the other number 10.
Okay.
Because there's two really, really good ones. Justin yeah. Turner is number 10, right. which yeah. he deserves to be there. And this is going to come out at the 11 o'clock hour. And then Ron Say.
Ooh, Ron. That's – oh, that's – let me tell you, that's a tough one, I think.
Yeah, I don't really know which one you want. If you're an older person, if you're an older head, you go.
You go with
Say.
Like Say or Norm Nixon, right?
Right.
If you're younger, you're going to go with Justin Turner.
So that one could be a little interesting. See who goes, who wins that.
And that'll be released at 11, right? So
yes.
in the 10 a.m. hour, we're going to do number 9, and in the 11 a.m. hour, we're going to do number 10. So you can vote at ESPN Los Angeles on Twitter. So make sure you do that. All right. So Jeff Passan was on Get Up this morning, and he was talking about Major League Baseball and their plan. So here's the deal. USA Today, remember? Let me go back even further. Passan was on with us last week, I think Monday or Tuesday, and he was talking about this Biodome story about all Major League Baseball teams playing in Arizona. So the USA Today came out on Friday, I want to say, maybe Thursday, but late in the week. They're all running together now. And they were talking about Major League Baseball, talking about a plan of doing Cactus League and Grapefruit League in Arizona and in Florida. And what did I tell you, Greg, about that plan?
That is the most viable? Oh, no,
no
you
I didn't.
Want to be in Florida. No, you know, you want to be out of Florida. Nothing
yeah.
in Florida.
No, hashtag because Florida. You're not, it's just not going to work for a number of reasons because so many things can happen, okay? It's just hashtag because Florida. Like, it's just, that's, trust me. I grew up in the state. I know what happens there. Something will go wrong. So Jeff Passan today on Get Up said, sorry, USA Today. That's not the deal. Here's the latest deal. Here's Passan on Get Up.
Yeah, right now, Greeny, I think we're in a bit of a holding pattern because ultimately, if this is going to get done, it's not just Major League Baseball's choice. The players need to be on board, too. And the MLB Players Association last week was sort of surveying among its members their thoughts on a different variation of plans. There's, of course, the Arizona plan. There's one in Arizona and Florida, which is much less viable both politically and functionally. And there was this Tim Kirkjian said a couple weeks ago this thought that maybe we could just export baseball to Japan. I don't think that one's going to be happening. When it's all said and done, it seems like it's going to be Arizona or bust for Major League Baseball. And they have to get to the point where they say to themselves, okay, this is what we're going to try to do, even if we can't ultimately pull it off. But here's the hope. The hope is that this starts off as a biosphere, and eventually we get to the point in this country through testing and through antibody testing and through understanding a little better what the coronavirus exactly is, that they can move beyond this biosphere and go back to their cities. And even though they will probably be playing in empty stadiums for the rest of the year, the idea is that this would be a 2 or maybe 3 month thing as opposed to a 4 or 5 or 6 month thing
okay.
that encapsulates the entire season. Now, of course, there is the possibility that it turns into that, but idealistically, they want to spend as little time as they can in Arizona.
So there you have it. So it is going to be Arizona or bust. Bergman, how do you feel about that?
I mean, if it gets it back, that's fine. I'm okay with – you have a bunch of different stadiums there. It's all – we already have the Cactus League there. I'm okay with it, that happening as long as the players are okay with being away from their family for that long. And it gets baseball back, so makes sense to me. The one thing I'm disappointed in – this is what I'm disappointed with Jeff Passan there is that he called it a biosphere. It's a biodome. Pauly Shore would not be happy with him not saying biodome. That's just my one thing.
Yeah, we actually remember when he was on. We talked about that. We talked
right,
about
and,
it being, you know,
so a call biodome. It a biodome, man.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he could call it a biodome, but a sphere would be bigger than a dome, wouldn't it be?
Well, you would think so. I mean, well, it depends. I mean, we're gonna
because
get
it's a
really
city,
weeds
right?
Right, because yeah. a sphere and a dome could just depends on how big you make the dome.
That's fair. That is fair. But look, here's the thing. I think that it's probably better to have everything in one place. If you're doing things in multiple places, you're creating the potential for more havoc. as I mentioned earlier. I know I was joking about Florida, but not really. I wasn't joking about Florida. But especially when you're having two, when you have two places and two different locations on the complete opposite end of the country, okay? There's just so many things that can go wrong. And again, if you can put everyone in one spot, you can control the testing better. You can manage the temperature checks better. You can potentially quarantine people easier. I think that there are a lot of things that you can do and just manage logistically far easier if you're in one place. Like if you're putting people in multiple places, there's just, again, the potential for more things to go wrong because you're depending on more people on your end. If you're Major League Baseball, if you're these organizations, to get things right. And also having to communicate with people in two different locations in regards to communicating with Major League Baseball. Where if they're all in this biodome, biosphere, whatever you want to call it, everyone is there and everyone can get the directives directly from the people that need to give whatever directives need to be sent out. Like I just think that you're creating an extra layer of difficulty if you're doing it in multiple places. It just that just seems like the obvious thing to me. So I could be wrong, but that's the way I would do it. Let's go to Kyle real quick on the phone. What's up, Kyle?
Hello?
Hey, Kyle, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, man? Thank you for taking my call. Let's have a conversation
sure.
with, it's going to be hard. Let's have a conversation without fear governing your thinking. So it's very simple that if the NBA wanted to go back, all they have to do is utilize the new FDA test that comes out with results in 15 minutes. The owners can have their coaches, their assistant coaches, their staff, the players, even the players' families tested, and you get the results within 15 minutes and then go back to having games without the crowd or the fans. But the key point in this, you have to, at the end of the day, when everybody's tested and passed the test, you got to get a letter from the president, because it's not the president that has us on these stay-at-home orders. It's these governors. And if they have an agenda, the governor said already, Newsom said, I don't care what the president says. I'm not releasing y'all from these stay-at-home orders. So then it makes everything mute. What do you think, Sedano?
Kyle, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. Look, here's what I would say to that. I do think that, yes, we do have governors who are doing things a little differently, but they're doing what they think is in the best interest for their constituency. What I would say to you is, yes, I think you may have been the guy who brought up the 15-minute FDA test a couple of weeks ago, and then, yeah, it was approved shortly thereafter, a few days after that, because I know that there was a story, and someone called in to tell us about it, and it might have been you, Kyle, and thank you again for the call, and stay safe and healthy. But I think the problem is not the ability to use the 15-minute test. It's the amount of tests. It's to be able to utilize the test without compromising the ability for the general public to get those tests. And the more and more testing there is for the general public, I think that then the NBA and Major League Baseball and all these leagues will feel comfortable doing this, because as long as the general public can also get it, they don't want to be in harm's way from a political standpoint and make this, and we politicize everything, so they sure as hell don't want to make this political too. Well, these players are getting these tests. Why can't the general public get it? We already had a little small dose of that when it happened with the NBA and the shutdown of the NBA, even though those individual situations were, again, as pointed out by Adam Silver, different on their own merit. Oklahoma's medical community was not going to allow the Utah Jazz to leave the state of Oklahoma if Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell had tested positive. So the state did that. Some of these teams that have been testing their players have been doing it with private labs. So I just think that there's a lot of things there in play as far as the optics of it when it comes to this testing. And look, Jeff Passan was on with us last week, and he said that Major League Baseball believes there will be enough testing nationwide to avoid that by the end of May. Now, again, that's not his opinion. It's what Major League Baseball believes, according to Jeff and his sources. And my guess is the NBA has a similar approach to this. Is once there's more widespread testing, then we can do this on our end. I don't think it has less to do with the governors, more to do about the general public and the availability of tests. That's, to me, the biggest key. 877-710-ESPN if you want to hop aboard. 877-710-3776. And by the way, we can have this audio for you on the other side. Jackie McMullen talked about that testing becoming more widespread, even in her home state of Massachusetts. So we'll hear that too. Plus, a great day in Dodger history coming up. It's going to be on ESPN and going to be replayed tomorrow. We'll tell you about that. And there is an interesting Jordan versus LeBron comparison. I'm not a big comparison guy, but there's one that makes some sense to talk about with this documentary coming out. I'll tell you what that is in a couple of minutes. Stick around. We're back in a moment. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's what we're doing from a guest perspective. So we've got my guy, Mark Jones, who called horse. He's going to join us at 11. At 11:15, we are going to have our senior shout-out today. Greg, who is our senior shout-out?
Our Jackson Kramer is our senior shout-out, and he is a baseball player from, St. Anthony High School, and he's a right fielder.
Okay, cool. So he'll be our senior shout-out at 11:15. Cool, we'll talk to him about the Dodgers. And then 11:30, we've got a special treat for you. So today is the four-year anniversary of Kobe's last game, the 60-point performance. And we're going to replay the last 3 minutes and 5 seconds of actual game time, which runs about 10 minutes in real time, where he goes on a personal 11-2 run to give the Lakers the lead for good on the way to his 60-point performance in his final game. So we're going to have that for you at 11:30, and then Ireland is going to join us at 11:45. It should be a blast. So we've got that. We've got Number Mania going on right now. So Number Mania. Today, who is the best Los Angeles athlete to wear number 9? Right now, Lisa Leslie with 58.2% of the vote is in the lead. Nick Van Exel is number 2 with 32.5%. Bernie Nichols with 4.6% and other with 4.6%. You can vote at ESPN Los Angeles. That's where you can vote on Number Mania. So Number Mania continues and we'll do that. I mentioned earlier about the testing. We had the gentleman, Kyle, who called earlier. And he was blaming the governors or whatnot. And it's not so much about blaming governors. It's about doing the right thing as far as testing is concerned. You can't go out there and politicize this thing. And by the way, the commissioners don't want to do this. They don't want to start playing games and use the ability to get all these tests, whether they're done privately or not through private labs, and not have the same availability to the general public. It would be just a really silly idea to do that. It would really put them in a tough spot because then they would be in the crosshairs of not only just all these political shows, these sports shows, all the shows really, but also the American public. And you don't want that because you need the American public to support you. Now, I do think that we're getting closer and closer. I mentioned Jeff Passan last week said that Major League Baseball believes that by the end of May that they could be in a better position from a testing perspective, and that Major League Baseball and the leagues can also help the general public by getting these tests available to them. Now, Jackie McMullen was on the Hoop Collective podcast with Brian Windhorst, and she talked about a personal experience she witnessed in her home state of Massachusetts when it came to testing.
Well, let me just tell you what happened today, if I may. My friend, her family owns a car dealership. And she had to go to work today. And she happens to work right next door to a CVS pharmacy in Lowell, Massachusetts. And they opened up a drive-through testing facility today at the outside the CVS Lowell. And you drove up and you waited in line for a very, very long time. And they handed you a swab and you self-administered the swab. And you waited 15 minutes. And according to my friend, you got a test result. This is shocking to me. I didn't think we were this far along. I don't know if we're this far along. I'm not sure how accurate the test is. I think the one thing I was looking for, Brian, because it was the only thing that made sense in order for all these leagues to proceed, was very simple. Every single person involved had to be tested. Every single person. Every single player, coach, GM, trainer, referee, name the people that were going to be in this arena.
I mean, there's media there.
Whatever. And that had to be done because we've learned over and over and over again that many people that have this virus are asymptomatic. The NBA could not afford, the one thing they could not afford was to restart their season and then have someone come up positive and have to shut it down again. It's the one thing they absolutely could not have. Now, if this test that I just described to you, and this is, I mean, I guess I have to say it's hearsay because I'm hearing it from another person who's not a medical person who simply witnessed what I'm describing to you right now, literally witnessed it out her window. If the testing can be done in a way that you know everyone involved, what their status is, that gives me a little more hope than what I had 4 days ago.
Yeah, so that's it. If that type of testing can become more widespread, then I think the leagues will be ready to roll. And their hope, and they're betting on that, the ingenuity of the medical community and the scientific community will allow us to be in that position and not compromise the position of the general public. It's just that simple. All right, good news for you if you're a Dodger fan. Do you know what's running on ESPN tomorrow, Greg Bergman?
I don't. What is running tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I believe at 5 o'clock, I'd have to, let me double check on the time, the Kirk Gibson game.
Oh, that's what I was hoping it was going to be.
Yep, they're re-airing the Kirk Gibson game tomorrow on ESPN. So that'll be exciting to watch. I haven't, you know, it's funny, I've seen clips of the game a million times, but I haven't re-watched the game in its entirety, maybe ever, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I watched the game live, so it's one of my earliest sports memories.
Yeah, of course. I remember it vividly.
Well, I mean, I was five, so it was one of my earliest
I was not five. I was I was 11, so I have a much more vivid memory.
Right, yeah, exactly. So, but I was sitting on the couch with my brother. My parents had gone out to go get some food, and I remember my brother and I, who's 3 years older, were just going crazy sitting on the couch watching that game because Jose Canseco had hit a grand slam in the first inning, and we're like, oh, this is going to be terrible.
Right.
But I don't remember watching the game in its entirety since then. So I think I'm gonna have to rewatch this tomorrow.
Right, because there's going to be things that you were so young, you're never going to remember. No. You never remember vividly. Like, and you've seen the highlight of Gibson, and you've probably seen the highlight of Canseco, as you mentioned, hitting the grand slam. And look, that Oakland A's team was supposed to be indestructible, okay? Like, they were supposed to be the team of that decade, and they kind of fell short, right? Like, I know they won one, right? But it wasn't like they were as dominant as we thought they were going to be.
So a lot of times what happens when you lose in a World Series or a finals or whatever it is, and your windows close. We talk about that all the time. And
well, I mean, they played in three World Series, though. It's not like they didn't play in a number of World Series.
No, but they only won the one. So,
right.
You know, it's just difficult. The Dodgers kind of, you know, stopped them a little bit there.
They stole that one because that was, I mean, listen, I would love, maybe I can look this up. I don't know. Or maybe someone in the audience can tell us where to find this, but I would love to see what the odds were for the Dodgers in that series. Cause they had to have been tremendous underdogs in that series.
They weren't even supposed to be that great of a team back then. I mean, they just kind of,
well, the Mets were supposed to be in the World Series. They were, you know, they had come off the World Series win in 86 and then, you know, they lost in 87 and, you know, they played the Dodgers in the playoffs.
1988. Oh, it doesn't have it. I'm looking for archived MLB future odds. So I was looking for it. I thought I had it.
Okay. Well, I'm sure I could find it. I'd love to see, if what the odds were on something like that, because they had to have been huge underdogs. There's no doubt. Like, I don't remember what it could have been. Here, let me see. I think I may have found something. I'll look for it. But either way, it was one of the biggest upsets in sports history at that time.
Oh, yeah. No, and it was just such an amazing time for the – obviously, it's the last time the Dodgers have even won the World Series, let alone it being what they were. But it was just great to see them. I mean, the whole story behind the Kirk Gibson home run where he was in the – he was down inside the dugout in the locker room, and he was talking to someone, and they told him, like, hey, the backdoor slider, wait, look for it on this last play.
Right.
It all worked out so perfectly. It's just – they need to make a movie about it. They make a movie about everything.
Yeah, for sure. I think I'm going to try to find this because, man, it was pretty incredible. like that they were able to win and win the way they did. I mean, they won the series pretty much going away. You know what I'm saying? Like it wasn't as competitive as one would have thought. All right, coming up next, I want to get into LeBron and Jordan, because with this Jordan doc, there's some interesting comparisons, and there's a playoff comparison that I think will stun you if you're not that familiar with Jordan's career. Plus, one of the best pranks in NBA history was revealed recently, and I found it to be hilarious. I want to get into that. And by the way, if you have memories from that Dodgers series in 1988, from the Kirk Gibson home run, where were you? What, you know, where did you watch it? Who did you watch it with? Give it to us at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Sedano, 710-ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710-ESPN. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. This segment also brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. And if you miss any one of our interviews ever, you can check out the Sedano Show podcast, brought to you by Capital One Quicksilver Card. Wherever you find your podcast, the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? And by the way, when it comes to insurance, State Farm's the real deal. With over 19,000 local agents and award-winning mobile app as well, you can help. You can get the help that you need. And of course, when you need it, find an agent and get a quote at statefarm.com. So the last dance from Jordan, the Michael Jordan year, the last season with the Bulls and them winning their last championship, is going to be on ESPN starting Sunday. And Alan Sliwa and I will be doing a video recap after each and every episode every Sunday. So I guess it's going to air at 6 o'clock, and then it'll be done at 8 o'clock. And then Sliwa and I will probably do like 30 minutes on video. If you want to join in on the conversation, it'll be on all the ESPN Los Angeles social media accounts. Greg, is that a fair way to describe it?
Yes, it'll be definitely on Periscope, Twitter.
Yeah. So real quick, still couldn't find anything on the odds for the Dodgers in that World Series, but they were definitely underdogs. It's funny, you look at that. Did you remember who started Game One?
Started Game One
for the Dodgers.
For the Dodgers, that was not the Oral Hershiser. It wasn't Oral.
No, Oral Hershiser pitched Game 7 of the NLCS, so he couldn't start Game 1.
Right. No. God, it's been so long. As a Dodger fan, I'm ashamed that I'm going to say I don't remember.
Tim Belcher.
Oh, that makes sense.
He was a rookie. Tim Belcher. Yeah.
Wow.
And then the Dodgers scored 2 in the bottom of the first to take the lead. And then in the second inning, Jose Canseco hit the grand slam. The other part of that I remember vividly of that era, the 80s baseball, it was on NBC at the time. And Vin Scully and Joe Garagiola would call the World Series during that time. And it was just so awesome. That was I lived on the East Coast, right? So that was my introduction to Vin Scully and how great he was in the 80s was he would call the World Series on NBC. And the fact that he was calling the Dodgers was even more incredible.
Yeah, I mean, God, anything that Vin does is just incredible. But people don't really understand the home run call that Vin did was – you know, it was incredible in itself that he calls the home run and then he just stops talking.
Yeah, he lays out.
He lays out and he's like, I laid out. I just let the fans go. And a lot of people actually don't like that if they're not from LA.
Oh, hell no. That's the move every time.
Oh, yeah. But no, Jack Buck, people think that Jack Buck had a better call because he actually, you know, went through and he was talking a whole bunch. But the way that Vin did it was perfect. You just let the crowd tell the story. That's what made Vin so great, was he just understood moments.
I also think that there's a difference. Now, I'm going to get inside broadcasting here with you, so sorry that I'm going to get a little geeky. But the difference between Vin's call and Jack Buck's call is Jack Buck is doing radio. So you can only let the crowd go for so long on radio. It's not a visual medium. Whereas Vin on NBC has the ability to, you know, have the cameras pan to the audience, right? And like just the reactions of the players. Like it's a different call when you're calling it on television.
No, I totally get it, and I, especially on radio, in that, in those moments, though, like with the crowd being so loud and it's just so hyped, you can still, it's you know, it's not going to have 10 seconds of dead air or anything like that. So to go a little bit behind the scenes, also for radio, it's not dead air, so it still works, and people are going nuts anyway.
Yeah, but just, you can't do it as long on radio. No, you just can't. No. Yeah, you can only go for a few seconds before you got to keep talking, because it's just the way it works on radio. Like, I could sit here and play music for, you know, 10 seconds, but beyond that, like, I got to start talking at some point. Even as much as I may like the music, or someone may enjoy the, you know, the bumper music that Laura's playing, like, I got to talk at some point, you know?
Yeah, you know, if we have Daddy Yankee going on, you know, that's, so we could just keep it going for a little bit.
Right, I do like hearing when we play Daddy Yankee, but at some point I got to start talking, you know what I mean? Like, that's just the reality of it. So, right. You know, that's just it. But it is just fascinating, just looking back at it now, as I'm looking back at that game, and the players, Mickey Hatcher, Steve Sachs, and then for the A's, like, you know, Walt Weiss, right? Like, there's so many, and clearly Canseco and McGuire, right? Dave Stewart was also on the mound for them, and man, yeah, like, it was just an incredible, incredible game. Do you know who was the winning pitcher for the Dodgers? You want to take a guess? Because clearly we know Eckersley lost the game.
Right, Eckersley's lost, so it probably would have been somebody out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
Why don't you just tell me?
Alejandro Pena.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Crazy.
Alejandro Pena. Yeah, that's nuts. If you look at the team, if you actually look at the Dodgers in 1988, it wasn't some fantastic team.
No!
That you're like, whoa, no, look at these guys.
No way.
No, it's a bunch of guys you're like,
they're good. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Pedro Guerrero was a strong player there. And Mickey Hatcher, you know, that's basically what you're looking at outside of Kirk Gibson and Oral Hershiser.
Yeah. So, it's why I told you, though, that, like, they had to have been massive underdogs. And I would love to have someone find that for us, or we could find it. But, man, it has to have been, like, as big an underdog as we've had in a World Series in a really, really long time. As a matter of fact, here's, like, a cool little stat. In World Series history, the A's, I believe, if I recall correctly, the A's were the only team in Major League Baseball history, okay, where they hit a grand slam and both failed to win the game and later win the series. So the Yankees in 1956 in a game 2 hit a grand slam and lost the game but won the series. And the A's are the only team in baseball history to hit a grand slam in a game and lose not only the game but the series as well.
Wow, look at that. Jeez, I mean, look, Mike Socha was on this team. Steve Sachs was around. So there's still some players, but Fernando, obviously.
Yeah. Kevin is in Pasadena. What's up, Kevin? You got a memory from that game? Like, as we sit back, the game's going to air tomorrow, but it's just a fun time to talk about it.
Yeah, I was a senior at UC Santa Barbara, Gaucho. And if you know UC Santa Barbara, it's a mix of LA and Northern California. Mm-hmm. And so I was in a room full of Giants fans.
Uh-oh.
And as Kirk Gibson came to the plate, one of my friends says, if Kirk Gibson hits a home run, we are going to beat the bleep out of you. And a few pitches later, the home run was hit, and I got wrestled to the ground and a few knocks to the head. Nothing really serious, but that's what happened. But it was worth it. It was definitely worth it.
The beating was worth it because the Dodgers won the World Series. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. That's
all right.
That's pretty hilarious. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Stay safe,
you got
okay?
It. Later.
Do you that is such a guy thing, right? Like, we're just going to beat the crap out of you if your guy hits the home run.
Yeah, that's I did that with my brother one time. It was 2006, and the UCLA was playing Gonzaga, and it was the game that they beat Adam Morrison, and they came back and won. My brother was just – he was like, this game's at halftime. He said, it's over. It's over. This game sucks. The UCLA sucks. And he was going nuts. I was like, I'm going to beat the crap out of you if you don't shut up. The game's not over. And then they came back and won, and I threw him against the wall and broke a little bit of it. But, yeah, that was that's what you do when it was in sports like that.
So I mentioned earlier about one of the greatest pranks I've ever heard in sports history, right? Like, there's a lot of, like, fun pranks. And, you know, just kind of piggybacking off the silliness there. Zach Lowe did a podcast recently this week. He calls it the yearly Luke Walton All-Star Column, a place to discuss underappreciated contributions from relative unknowns around the league, right? Like, that's what he calls it. And it's in honor of the Lakers legend, loosely, Luke Walton. We'll call it that. So in this podcast, he talks about Michael Carter Williams. Now, you remember Michael Carter Williams was drafted by the Philadelphia 76ers, and he was rookie of the year or whatever. And look, he clearly hasn't had the career everyone thought he was going to have, but he's been around the league for a long time. So in this story, Michael Carter Williams tells a story about how the Sixers in his second season went to Milwaukee, and they went to the Pfister Hotel, which is the famous haunted hotel in Milwaukee. You've heard the stories about the famous haunted hotel in Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, no, there's there and in Oklahoma City.
Right, yes. Those are the two. So apparently, Michael Carter Williams, in his second season, arranged with the hotel staff to enter the rooms of each of the rookies before that they could get into the rooms. And they removed the vent, inserted a walkie-talkie in each one of these rooms, sealed the vent shut again, and when the rookies arrived, Carter Williams, in his room, was at the other end of the walkie-talkie and would whisper menacing threats and nursery rhymes as he watched the rookies react, because he had set up baby monitors all over their rooms that were on the same floor. That is some of the best stuff I've ever heard in my entire life. Like, we've heard the stuff about guys filling guys' cars with popcorn, right? Like, that's, I think there was a Kenyon Martin story about that, or guys taking off the wheels of other guys' cars or stuff and stealing their cars, you know, for a minute. That is really intricate. To involve the hotel group and the hotel staff, to take out the vents, to put in the walkie-talkies, to add the baby monitors into the rooms and not make them conspicuous enough where they couldn't notice them. I mean, that is pretty, pretty damn impressive.
That's hysterical. If he wasn't just running down the street screaming, I don't know what's wrong with that guy, because that's just insane. You have curfew too, right? So you can't even leave your room.
Right.
So if all
right.
that stuff's happening, what do you do?
That is some of the best pranking I've heard. I want to ask Mark Jones, who's going to come on with us a little bit. He's to talk horse, and we'll talk some NBA with him too. He's one of the voices of ESPN television on the NBA. And I want to ask him, he's got to have heard a great prank story over the years. He's been doing NBA games for 20 years. Ireland, I'm sure, probably has a good one when we'll talk to him too. So here's the deal. The next hour, here's how we're going to have it. We have Mark Jones coming up. We'll talk horse, pranks, and NBA with him. At 11:15, we are going to have our senior shout out. Our senior shout out today is Jackson Kramer, a baseball player from St. Anthony's. He's going to join us. We'll talk to him as our senior shout out. And then at 11:30, today's the 4-year anniversary of Kobe Bryant's last game, the 60-point performance. And we're going to run back the last 3 minutes and 5 seconds of actual game time. What's on my mind? I keep saying 3 minutes and 5 seconds. 3 minutes and 5 seconds of actual game time, which runs about 10 minutes. And in that run, he goes on a personal 11-2 run to give the Lakers the lead for good in his 60-point performance. And then Ireland is going to join us at 11:45 to end the show. So we've got an action-packed last hour for you. We appreciate the calls that have come in earlier. We'll hopefully try to sneak in some calls maybe in the last hour as well. So stay tuned. Appreciate you guys hanging in with us. Stay safe. Stay healthy. One more hour to go. Sedano, 710 ESPN.